Thanks, Eileen. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Thanks, Phoebe and Troy. Good afternoon on this Friday afternoon. How are you? 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. It's a no snow show in Dublin. We were watching the news last night and seeing those lovely pictures from all over. There was a lovely shot of a thatched cottage covered in snow, and the road in front of it was covered in snow. It was a lovely scene, lovely scene. And we were very jealous, very envious. They told us we'd have snow and we haven't had snow. Not even a flake or a grapple or a stone or nothing. Absolutely nothing. So, Hugh, we've little to be complaining about. How are you? If you want to contact the show, 51551 ray at rte.ie. Anything that's on your mind? Romantic Irish songs. I was trying to think of them. We're not very good at the old romantic songs, are we? Are we good at there's always a bit of sort of hardship in our songs. Yeah, romantic Irish songs. There's a conundrum for you, since it is St. Valentine's weekend. And you have to hand it to people, like, because, you know, restaurants are closed and people are trying to make money wherever they can. O'Doherty's Fine Meats, they're copying Marks and Spencer's, and they have a love sausage on offer. Treat your loved one to delicious breakfast. So it's a rather large sausage shaped like a heart covered in rashers. You see, you can impress anybody if you just, you know, take a chicken breast, boring, wrap it in a rasher, now you have a meal. And it looks like you've made an effort, and it looks like you have the culinary skills of Nevin Maguire. And then if you put a bit of cheese in the middle of the chicken breast, or maybe a bit of black pudding, and wrap it in a rasher, then you're, look, you're, wow. They'd be eaten out of your hands, or at least eaten off a plate. And as for Chick is a Dublin restaurant, C-H-I-C-C. I don't know if they deliver around the country, but they have a deal with Deliveroo for this Valentine's Day. So in it, you get, I think, 6 red roses and 12 chicken nuggets, right? And then at home, you have to assemble the bouquet yourself. It's a chicken nugget bouquet. So you put the chicken nuggets at the end of the long cocktail sticks and you mix them up with the 6 red roses and you present them to your loved one. And I think it comes with some pink pickled onions and some bright pink mayonnaise. And when I heard it this morning, it didn't sound very appetizing. I'm looking at a picture now. It doesn't look too bad. It doesn't look too bad. And if you have a sense of humour and your partner has a sense of humour, it might be the thing for you. Chick. But if you're planning on cooking and you're not very good at that sort of thing, we have Nevin Maguire on after 4 o'clock to give you a straightforward, foolproof meal that you can cook for yourself if you're on your own, or you can cook for yourself and your partner or yourself and whoever this Valentine's Day. Because it's that weekend. Ride on. Is that a love song? Ride on, see you. I don't know. Is it a love song? I was just thinking, Niamh Hamill pointed out that this day last year we were in Stonyford in County Kilkenny on an OB, and we were surrounded by people. Hundreds of people came out to see us in the tiny little village of Stonyford, and we had the best crack ever. And we were there because the people of Stonyford had their own little operation, transformation operation, if you know what I mean. And there were a number of local leaders, and we met them all, and we it was just brilliant crack. Little did we know what was ahead of us for the next year. And it's going to be a year now, isn't it? Around then as well, I went to see a play. Was it the Olympia or the Gaiety? I always get mixed up. It was the Gaiety. It was the Gaiety where I was on. And who starred in it? Only Paul Mescal. And we had him in and we had a chat with him. And what a year he's had, huh? Because I remember we were going, we have this guy on. Yeah, well, he was very good, I said. He was very good in the play. We should have him in for a chat. And then somebody had said, well, he's in that TV adaptation of Sally Rooney's novel, Normal People. So that might make a bit of noise. So maybe we'll have him in. So we had him in and had a chat. And I remember at the time, he couldn't say too much about Normal People because it hadn't been on telly yet. So we were talking about something that people hadn't seen. And now, look, his name is on everybody's lips, not just in Ireland, but all over the world. Paul Mescal. Yeah. Easter. I went home yesterday. And Jenny was a little bit annoyed with Micheál Martin. She said, he was on Morning Ireland and he said, that we won't be no lifting on restrictions until at least after Easter. So who knows when Easter is? It varies from year to year. And I said, all you have to do is Google it. Jenny, all you do is Google it. Well, it seems that everybody was Googling when Easter was yesterday. David Cochran, who works in the Irish Times Group, has a Google chart. So it was going along, you know, a few little searches for when Easter was on Google. And then when Micheál Martin made his announcement, whew, through the roof, everybody wanted to know when Easter was. Easter Sunday, April 4th. But things aren't going to get back to normal after that. It's going to be longer than that. So we're here for the long haul. This might brighten your day. Put your hand in your pocket, see if you have any euros. Because you might have a coin in your pocket that's worth 6,000 euro. Imagine that. Of course, there's very little change around at the moment because everything's been paid for by card. But there's an Italian 1 cent coin. They made a mistake when they were pressing it or minting it or whatever they do, when they were producing the coin. And they stamped a 1 cent template onto a 2 cent coin. Are you with me? So it was, you know, the actual template was smaller than the coin. They are very rare. Very, very rare. If you have one in your pocket, it's worth 6,000 euro. There you go. That'll brighten up your day. And then there's the Finnish one, the Greek Finnish one, 2 euro coin. So a number of Greek 2 euro coins got minted in Finland. And they put a bit of the Finnish thing, as in the S, which is the Finnish word for Finland. I can't remember what it is, Suomi or something like that. And the S is on these coins. And if you have one of those in your pocket, they could be worth 1,000. And the Grace Kelly coin, Monaco produced a limited edition 2 euro coin with a profile of its former princess, actress Grace Kelly, on one side. The coin was issued to commemorate the 25th anniversary of Kelly's death in the tragic car accident in 1982. So there was 20,000 coins. And if you have one of those, it could be worth 4,000 euro. So check your pockets, ladies and gentlemen. Check your pockets. Lady in Red, Christa Berg, there's one. Yeah, okay. The Island. I'm not going to sing them all, don't worry. leave your radio on. Declan O'Rourke, yeah, well, Galileo, one of the greatest love songs of all time, yes. The Voyage. Yeah, it is. It's romantic enough. You wouldn't be playing it to a sort of a, you know, a 21-year-old if you were trying to woo them, would you? You know, if you're having a sort of steak and chips romantic meal, would you put The Voyage on in the background to try and woo them? I don't think so. I agree with the lack of romantic love in Irish songs, with the exception of Danny Boy, which I think is the greatest love song ever written. Not exactly a Valentine song, but known and loved the world over. Listen to the likes of Dusty Springfield or Judith Durnham do it. Oh, Pat, I didn't know that Dusty Springfield did a version of Danny Boy. And I just put some washing on the outdoor line today just to watch it billow, just because I could. It was windy and dry. Thrilled with myself. Celine in Dublin. Isn't that lovely? You just put it out there to watch it billow. That's going to be my word for the weekend. Billow. Colm O'Regan, you know Colm O'Regan, we've had him on the show on numerous occasions. Very funny guy. Writes for the Irish Examiner. He has a bee in his bonnet. He's not too pleased with people in RTE because he thinks we all need a laugh. And he thinks that RTE should step up to the plate. So he tweeted, just a thought. Is it at all possible that RTE could just put some stand-up comedy on the telly? You know, make people laugh. Not a formulaic interview or a celeb trying to be funny or dressing up in a funny hat. Just like jokes, satire, that kind of thing. It's Colin. The problem, I suppose, at the moment is that you can't have audiences. And when you speak to comedians, they need an audience. They need the reaction. If you're telling a joke to an empty room, it's going to fall flat on its face. Unless, of course, you're a dad and you have the best dad joke in the world. And how do you know it's the best dad joke in the world? Because you've been telling yourself it's the best dad joke for a long time. Now, yesterday we had Colin on. It could have been Connor. I better check his name. It was Connor. Connor, and he shared a dad joke with us. It was a bit embarrassing and it wasn't very funny. But there's a brilliant one doing the rounds today. And maybe this is the answer, Colm O'Regan, to RTE and comedy. It's dads thinking they're funny, telling dad jokes. I like it. I think we should... We're going to start something. Have a listen to this guy anyway. I'm laughing because I've listened to it 4 times already and I'm still laughing. Anyway, okay, I better do this right. Make sure you get it. Okay, so have a listen.
This fellow went into a pet shop the boy something. So he seen this centipede, so he said he'd buy him. So we brought him home with him, and they're getting on great. So after a couple of days, he said to the centipede, would you like to go for a pint? And the centipede does not. So a couple of hours later, he comes back to him and said, would you like to go for a pint? And the centipede said, does not. So he comes back again, he said, no, he did not. You want to go for a pint? And the centipede said, I heard it the first time, I'm putting on me. I'm putting on me fucking
He's a centipede, missus. He's 100 feet, so it takes him a little bit of time to put on his shoes. That's cheered me up no end. Probably for the weekend. We don't know who he is. Obviously, a Dublin man with children. They were in the background. Trying to get him to tell the joke, but he thought it was so funny it took him a long time to do it. That's great. So if you know who it is, or if it's you, we'd love to talk to you. Centipede Man, dad joke. I'm going to play a couple of short songs in a row just for the laugh. It's Friday. Star jumps, whatever you want to do, or just shuffle in your chair. I'll be back in a sec, actually in a minute. 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. Foster and Allen, after all these years, says Pat Kilkenny, great Irish love song. What about Still in Love with You? The live version of that, brilliant. From Live and Dangerous. Homey Now with Johnny Logan is a beautifully romantic song. And Why Me? And Forever and a Day, all written by the legendary Johnny Logan. Grace is a lovely song too, says Tom. And what about One, that has a tragic romantic feel to it? The Voyage was on the radio when I was in the Coombe having my little girl. In those few minutes before you leave the delivery suite and go back to the ward when the rooms are quiet, new Baba in my arms, the dad very tired asleep in the chair beside me, poor him, always makes me tear up now, says Aisling. Isn't that a lovely memory? I'll tell you what, we'll get some clips of the best of those and play out some romantic Irish songs before 4 o'clock if we have time. And then after 4 o'clock, we have our quiz of today. We're looking for two contestants to answer questions on events that happened on this day over the years. Today being the 12th of February. And there is a prize. And today's prize comes from the award-winning Holistic Chaude Spa in Dunboyne Castle Hotel. You and a friend will enjoy an exclusive one-day spa retreat where you will select from their luxury spa treatments including Voya and Image Skincare, facials, deep tissue massage and reflexology. You can take some time out and relax in the large hydrotherapy pool and afterwards enjoy afternoon tea in the luxurious surroundings of the 18th century Georgian formal sitting rooms. Find out more at dunboynecastlehotel.com. So, if you want to come on and answer a few questions, have a bit of crack, here's the qualifying question for today. In which Irish county would you find the town of Newbridge? Drogheda, Newbridge. Passengers willing to alight, doesn't matter. In which Irish county would you find the town of Newbridge? 1850 715 900. That's 1850 715 900. And we might be talking to you after 4 o'clock.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Colm is right, we all need a laugh. Badly. Could you ask people to send in a voice message with them telling a joke and play one a day? Children could even get involved. A Galway listener. We'll see. On the Centipede Man, I'm sat in my car and crying with laughter. This man reminds me of myself. I drive my kids mad when I tell a funny joke as I end up crying with laughter because, as one of my adult children will say, Mum knows how it ends. It irritates the hell out of them. That's Francis O'Neill with an E from Thurles. So you, Francis, could be our first contender there. Send us in one of your jokes there, Francis. I'll get you the Snapchat number. Is it Snapchat or WhatsApp? WhatsApp number. I'll get you the WhatsApp number. Now, every once in a while, we get a letter or an email that stops us in our tracks. And that's what happened last week when we got an email from Jacqueline Anderson. And Jacqueline is on the line. How are you doing, Jacqueline?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Good. Good to talk to you. Will I read your email out and then we'll have a chat?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
thank
you. It's great to have you there in the background, just you know, in case I stumble over anything here. Because it's a long one, but it's worth reading the whole thing. Okay. And the reason you really caught our attention was the way you opened your email. It reads, "Dear Mr. Darcy." I like the respect. I like that. Okay, here it goes. "Dear Mr. Darcy, as Valentine's Day is approaching, I would like to share my parents' love story with you. It's romance in its truest and most innocent form. My parents were both born and raised in Donegal. My dad, Brian Anderson, is from Drumboe in Stranarler. And my mum, then known as Liz Granahan, was born in Ras Castlefin. When my dad was 18, like so many others at the time, he went to London to work. He also joined the gym as he enjoyed boxing. He became a good boxer and fought for England in many countries. In the summer of 63, Dad came home on holidays. On the last night before he was due to go back to London, he went to the Butt Hall, where he met my mum. I believe it was love at first sight. My dad extended his holiday for a few more days so they could spend some time together. After he returned to London, the letters began. They wrote to each other almost daily. Inside these letters, we hear of their great love for each other. We have the proposal and the acceptance. We hear stories of mum smuggling butter over the border. Basically, we hear Dad and mum telling each other about their lives. My dad returned home on his Christmas holidays and walked or cycled to the Ras every day to see mum, a good 15-mile journey. When he returned to London, the letter started again. Anticipation, love, loneliness, longing and excitement filled these letters. They are organising their wedding now and we have every detail. Mum talks about watching Dad boxing on TV, how Harry Carpenter announces on live TV that Brian was to be married on the first day of July. They talk of the slagging they both get from their workmates and so, so many other things. My parents married on July 1st, 1964 after a courtship that took place on paper, all but 14 or 15 days that they saw each other. After their wedding and honeymoon in Bundoran, they started their life together in London. But it doesn't end there. Another set of letters were to begin when my dad got the call to fight for Ireland in the Tokyo Olympics in October of 1964. So just a couple of short months after their wedding, they had to part for the duration of the Olympics. These letters are amazing to have, as we hear Dad talking about the Olympics. But what we hear about most is how much they miss and love each other so very much. Dad returned home and they spent their first Christmas together, but soon the letters were to continue again when Mum got the call to return home to look after her dying mother. So we have 6 more weeks of letters. Since I was a young girl, I was very intrigued by the letters, but was not allowed to read them. Words that I just knew were full of love and romance. Today, they mean so much more. Now, thanks to those letters, we are able to get to know them both as young adults, as they were getting to know each other. To be able to look through the window of their past is beyond priceless to me. I never believed that I could love my parents more than I already did. But now that I know them better, I love them with a heart that is ready to burst. For Christmas this year, I got my parents' letters all put into a book. 6 books to be precise and over 1,600 pages of letters. I named their book The Love Letters. My parents are now 80 and 81. My dad has Alzheimer's and his memory is very short. But the great love he has for our mum is still very much there. They still kiss, cuddle and hold hands daily. My mum has COPD now and can no longer walk. She loves when I read their letters to them. Words could never express how good it is for me to read their words of love, to be able to transport my 8-year-old mum out of her recliner chair back to a 23-year-old girl lying on the old sofa by the fire, writing love letters to her boyfriend and waiting for the postman to arrive with letters from her love. I hope you like my parents' story, Ray. It would mean a lot to my mum if you wish to share it." And we do, and that's why you're on. Jacqueline Anderson. So there it is. So how many letters? There's 1,600 pages, Jacqueline, yeah. And how many letters is that?
There was 296 letters in all.
Wow.
So between the three sets.
I did the maths on that. So it averaged out about 5 letters or 5 pages a letter.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Some of the letters were shorter. Some of them were 12 pages long.
Right. Okay. And you must have been like a child in a sweet shop when you finally got to read them, were you?
Oh, absolutely. I've wanted to read those since as long as I can remember. I remember when I was very, very young saying to Mum, "Will you read me these letters?" And she said, "No, you can't read my letters." But then when I was a teenager and I was looking one day to see if I could find the letters, and I couldn't find them, and I said to Mum, where did the letters go? And she said, oh, I burnt them, Jacqueline, you know? And it wasn't until a few years ago when I happened to come across the letters, and I said, Mum, you told me you burnt these letters. And she said, Jacqueline, I only told you that because I didn't want you reading them at right. that age,
yes,
you know?
Yes, yeah,
so
yeah.
I was absolutely delighted that the letters were still there.
So what do you know about Butt Hall?
The Butt Hall?
Yes, the Butt Hall.
I remember going to the Butt Hall myself.
Right, right.
Yeah, we used to go to the tech socials in the Butt Hall.
So it's a local hall where they have dances and discos.
Yeah, it's the Isaac Butt Memorial Hall.
Ah, right, aha, right, okay.
You know now.
And that's where your dad first laid eyes on your mum?
Absolutely, yeah, that's right.
Was it love at first sight?
It was. My mum told me actually just this week that the very second night that they seen each other, Dad said to my mother, I love you, Liz, forever and ever more, amen. The first time he told her he loved her, he said that. And that is something they have been saying to each other their entire lives. But I didn't realize that, you know, it went back from the very first date or the very second date.
Yes, yeah.
And in most of their letters, the letters are actually ended with those words. I will love you forever and ever more, amen.
Now, we got you on yesterday. And we recorded you reading some of your parents' letters,
yes.
just so you could do it when you're relaxed, and you know we could edit them,
yes.
and all that sort of thing. So, what we've done is we've counted them here. We've 8 excerpts here in front of me, and we put a little bit of music behind them. That's what they call production in radio,
yes.
Jacqueline. Right? Okay. So it all. I'm looking at the dates here. It all happened very quickly, didn't it?
It was all inside 1 year. They met. The end of July, I think it was, and the letters had started then in August when Dad went back again, and then they were married on the 1st of July. So it
right,
was,
okay.
you know, just nearly the 12 months.
Yeah, yeah. So he stayed on. He was supposed to go back to London, stayed on
yeah.
for how many days, do you know?
I'm not 100% sure. I think it was 8 or 9 days he stayed on for at that time.
Okay. So then that was the end of July. Into August then, the first letter your mum wrote to your dad in London is dated here the 7th of August.
Yeah.
So he was barely back when he got it.
Yeah.
and here is you reading that first letter.
Okay.
Hello, Brian. This is just a page or two to say everything is fine here, except I'm very lonely since you left yesterday. I only wish you were coming home again. I showed Aunt Nancy the snaps we took in the machine in Bundoran. She said they were very nice, and to tell you that you had a boxer's nose. Brian, I've got your photo lying beside me as I write this letter. Brian, please answer this letter soon, as I'll be waiting to hear from you. From your girlfriend Liz, with all my love, forever and ever more, amen. P.S. Brian, my lips are still very soft after all the kissing we done, but time was short, darling, we had to make the most of it.
Lovely. So your dad has a boxer's nose.
He most certainly has.
So he was boxing from an early age.
Yeah, I think he started when he was about 12, and that was in Ireland.
Right.
And then when he went to London, he joined the gym, and he became quite good at it. He fought in a lot of countries for England. Mm. You know, so.
And he was a question in Know Your Sport, which is impressive.
Yeah, a question of sport. It was before the Olympics, my dad fought for England, and he was in this match, this boxing match, he was fighting this Polish man.
Yeah.
And he beat him within 6 months, and this was after the Olympics, and then he was fighting for Ireland. So he came across the exact same Polish man, and beat him again. He beat him the 2 times. But
right.
We always take a hand at him and say, gosh, that wee Polish man must have been quaking in his boots when he seen you coming again. But he was representing 2 different countries, you know.
Oh, so that was the question. Which man, which
yeah.
boxer represented 2 countries?
Exactly.
Ah, yes. And
it was
Brian
yeah.
Anderson was the answer.
Yeah,
okay,
that's right.
I'll store that in the back of my head in case it's asked again. Okay, so your mum, first letter, 7th of the 8th, and we have your dad's first letter in response to that, dated the 9th of August, 1963. Here we go.
Dear Liz, just a few lines in answer to your wonderful letter. Well, Liz, I am back in London and I am fed up. I feel like going home again to see you. I think you are the only girl for me. You make me feel very happy. I never felt like that with any other girl, and I hope I never will. Liz, any time I feel bad, I kiss the holy medal you gave me, and I feel great again. Well, Liz, I cannot put it on paper how much I love you. I think you are the most wonderful person I have ever met. Liz, I will never forget the day we spent in Bundoran. I love you, Liz, forever and ever more. Amen.
Forever and ever more. Amen.
Yes. Yeah.
And they signed off like that. Isn't that so romantic?
Yeah.
So romantic.
Oh.
He set the bar very high, didn't he, your dad? He was a romantic man.
Oh, he most certainly did.
Well, is. Still is.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. He would still, you know, in the summertime when we go out walking, my dad would always pick wildflowers for Mum. And it's one of my earliest memories is going out through the woods and picking flowers with Dad to go home to Mum.
How many children?
There's seven of us.
Right. Seven children.
Yeah.
200 and whatever, you said, letters over 1,600 pages.
Yeah.
And as we said already, it moved along quite quickly. So 15th of the 8th, which the 15th of August, which is 6 days after his first letter.
Yeah.
Your dad is back on sending a letter from London to Donegal.
Uh-huh.
Hello, Liz. I hope you're having a good holiday. And I wish I was in the bog with you. And better still, I wish you were here with me. But maybe someday we will get married and be together till we die. I hope you don't think I'm mad for what I have just written. I think you are just great. I will always love you as you love me now. I think you are the most wonderful person I have ever met. I love you, Liz, forever and ever more. Amen.
Oh, you're breaking my heart. Like if you read this in the Mills and Boom, you've gone, oh yeah, saccharine sweet. You'd be sticking your two fingers down your throat like that. But this is real. This is real.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what was their handwriting like?
Actually, really nice.
Yeah.
Really nice. And every single letter was dated, so that made it easy to put the book together, you know.
Yeah, so you put them in order. And how did you put the book together? How did you do it?
Well, you know what? My mum asked me in the summertime, Jacqueline, maybe you'll write me and your dad's story.
Right.
You know, this is when I was talking a lot about the letters, and I took an odd one up for her to read, and just to see how she would feel about listening to the letters, because I knew they'd be full of memories that she would have forgotten, you know.
Mm.
But I decided I would buy a journal and handwrite in every letter. And I was talking to my sister-in-law, Karen, and Karen says, no, no, don't do that, Jacqueline. She says, get you them in order, and I will scan them, and then we'll take them to Lisa McGranahan, who is a cousin of mine, and she works in BizPrints in Letterkenny.
Right.
So she, once Karen got them scanned onto the wee, you know, stick thing, the memory stick, then we sent them down to Lisa, and she put
printed them off.
Books together.
Yeah.
We thought first of all one book, but it turned out to be six books
because right.
There was so much in it. Like,
okay,
so.
I'm on the edge of my seat. I know the ending, and I know it's a happy ending, but your dad has just said, you know, mentioned marriage, and he's asking, does your mum think he's mad for mentioning it? Because they've only known each other a wet week. What does your mum say in return? Here we go.
Ryan, I think of you all the time. I do miss you a lot, and I don't think you are mad for what you wrote in your letter about us getting married one day. Because, Brian, I'm hoping that we get married one day too. Then we can be together always. I love you, Brian, with all my heart and soul, and I always will. I went to see Elvis one night in the pictures in Castle Derg. The name of it was Kid Galahad. It was all about boxing, and it was great.
So they're in their early 20s at this stage, were they?
Yep, that's right.
Early 20s.
Mum was 22 when they met and Dad was 23.
Right. And your dad is an honourable man because he wants to be straight with your mum from the start. So we'll just
go
straight into his next letter, which is dated, we're skipping on a bit now. When I say skipping on a bit, it's just from August to October. So so this is dated the 2nd of October 1963 from your dad to your mum.
Liz, I really mean it when I said I wanted you to be my wife. But Liz, if I was you, I would not answer me till you know me better. Liz, I want you to know all about me. One thing, I have got no money.
No money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what the Beatles say, Jacqueline? Money can't buy you love.
That's right.
Okay, what does your mum say in return? Here we go.
Brian, whatever time I do get married, I'm going to marry for love and not for money. I think love is the main thing, because where you have love, you have happiness. With love, happiness and health, you are a king. I'm just crazy about you, Brian. Every time I think of you, I get butterflies in my tummy.
Oh. How do you feel listening back to you reading out your parents' letters?
It's very strange.
Yeah.
It is definitely very strange. But, you know, I do know that this is a special story. Of course, extra special
with,
for me being their daughter, you know. But I'm such a romantic myself, you know. So I just absolutely adore the story, you know.
I
know where I got it from.
Yes, you were very lucky to be brought up in that
environment,
weren't you?
It was. Yeah. Our childhood was pretty idyllic. Now, we grew up with mum and dad always sat beside each other, always holding hands, kissing and cuddling. And you know what? It was so normal. We just thought that every mum and dad did the same as what our parents did. You know, it wasn't until I got older that I realised how special it was, you know, what they had for each other, you know. Definitely.
So we're early October 1963. Your dad has said, I've no money. Your mum has said, it's not the money I'll be marrying you for, Brian. And then, on the 5th of October, from your dad.
Hello, Liz. This is just a few pages in answer to your most wonderful letter. Liz, I never asked you outright if you will marry me. But Liz, I am asking you now. Will you marry me, Liz McGranahan? I think you are a smasher, Liz. I am really crazy about you. And I hope I will always feel like this. I really do, Liz. God bless you for now, and Liz, do not forget, I love you more than anybody else in this world, and I always will to the day I die. Here is a big kiss for you, Liz, and a few wee ones. Liz, did you ever say anything to your mum about us thinking of getting married? I would like to know what she thinks about it. It would be nice if she said okay.
You're a smasher.
I know, I love that.
Isn't it? Yeah. My granny used to say that to me. You're a smasher. Yeah. It's a great old word. It's a great old word. Yeah. So she said no, obviously. She said no, obviously. That's what. Liz, the ball is in your court. Here we go.
Hello, Brian. Well, Brian, I was surprised to get your letter today. And darling, my answer is yes, Brian, I will marry you. I really want to be your wife, Brian. I love you so much. Brian, my mum is very fond of you. She really likes you, Brian. I don't think she could get a better son-in-law. Love, I really do love you. I'm just crazy about you. Darling, I am really happy. Here is a big kiss and a few wee ones. By the way, Brian, does your dad and mum know about us yet? Will they approve of me? I hope they do. Please let me know. Maybe it would be better if we didn't tell them to Christmas. But if you want to tell your dad and mum now, then I'll also tell mum. Let me know what you're going to do. I love you.
And there it is. July to October in 1963. Met for the first time. Courted via letter from London to Donegal. Proposed, accepted. And there you go. The deal was sealed. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's your first memory of growing up in Donegal?
What is my first memory? I think in Donegal, we used to live in this little school up the Donegal Road called Mean Carriga School. It was, we had no electricity, we had no water, there was nothing. This was when we came home from London. There were three of us born in London. And we lived in this old school until my dad built our house. And I do always remember going through the forestry with Dad and picking wild raspberries and picking wild flowers for Mum.
Right.
You know.
And are Liz and Brian listening today?
They are indeed. And Mum told me, make sure and say hello to Ray Darcy from me. So
I think when they say your full name, it's a sign of affection. Ray Darcy, make sure you say hello to Ray Darcy. Well, listen, the reviews are in, Jacqueline. This is bringing a tear to my eye, the innocence of their love. And that comes through. It was pure and innocent, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's one of the things that struck me about the letters, you know.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm so emotional listening to the beautiful love letters. That's Charlie in Cork. And gorgeous and romantic, lovely. We could all learn from this simple, pure love that matters, says Dee. It should be a movie. So somebody else, well, you know, the boxing and everything and representing two countries and all that and the Isaac Butt Hall and all those love letters that are being read out there are absolutely beautiful. When they sign off, I love you forever and ever, amen. Now, that's a love story, Christine, County Cork. Have you ever heard anything so beautiful and innocent, so precious? Hope they will publish this or even make a movie, says Bernie. Enjoying Jacqueline telling the story of the love letters. It has really given me a lift today. What a beautiful story. I'm in bits, says Liz and Brian. And did Randy Travis, did he have access to the letters as well? Randy Travis.
No, he didn't. But when that song did come out, my mum always said, the song is about us. This is our song, Brian.
Yeah.
It could have been wrote about them.
Well, listen, Jacqueline, thanks so much for sending us the email. And thanks so much for sharing your parents' beautiful love story and their love letters, more importantly. And I'm sure that something's going to happen with them, you know, because there's something very special about them, as you know, and now our listeners know. So we'll sign off, I suppose, with Randy Travis and the way your mum and dad signed off. And if you could say it for us, it'd be great.
Can I just say hello to a couple of people first?
Oh, sorry, right. You're ruining it all now. We'll have to edit that bit out. No, I'm joking. Go on.
I just want to say hello to my mum and dad and to my four children, Joel, Jessica, Brian and Jude, and our little dog, Presley. And a very big thank you to Karen and Lisa for helping me with the book. And also thanking all the carers that come to our house. They're absolutely amazing.
Right. And there's a lot of ye around your parents as well
as the
carers.
There's seven of us looking after them.
And you're all living locally, are you?
We do.
All right, great.
Well, so that's good.
Right, so there you go. So Liz and Brian, big hello from all of us and a big virtual hug as well. And here it is, forever and ever, amen. Thanks, Jacqueline.
Thanks, Ray.
Liz McGranahan and Brian Anderson, we dedicate Randy Travis to you and to your family and your daughter Jacqueline. And what a lovely love story. There you go. Quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, loads of reaction coming into Jacqueline and her parents' stories. And we'll get to those after 4 o'clock. Back in October 2018... something happened. Frontman and broadcaster Tom Dunn was told that he had a heart condition that meant that he had a 70% chance of dying. That's pretty stark. At the time, Tom's daughters were still in primary school, so you can imagine the shock and the worry his family went through learning news like that. This week, Tom was writing in the Examiner with good news, and he's on the line now to share it with us. How are you doing, Tom?
How are you, Ray?
We'll see what we can do with you there. You're distorting. You know what distorting is.
I'm probably very excited and I'm probably getting too close
to
the microphone.
Yes, that's it.
Right.
So you come back from the microphone.
Sorry. It's lead singer syndrome. Yes. Once I see the mic, I go for it. I'm sorry.
And I said you were a broadcaster as well, so your mic technique should be good, Tom.
It's the performer in me. It comes out. I can't help it.
Great to talk to you. And
you
so,
too.
Yeah. So, like, I was following, obviously, because, you know, we're in a circle of people and they know, and they probably know a little bit more about you than, you know, the general public would. The last few years have been very difficult, haven't they? Bring us right back, because you were told a good bit back that you had a problem with your heart and at some stage you would have to have a major operation. Isn't that it?
Yeah. It was all the way back, I think, to 2007. And I failed the medical when we were buying our house, getting house and life insurance. I failed it. They discovered a murmur and I was referred to a cardiologist and he said, yeah, you definitely have this condition. It's called a bicuspid valve. and at some point we're going to have to operate. And I remember at the time I was really in a tailspin over that. But then the years went by. I went for annual checkups. There was never any real change. He kept saying things like, and you can exercise full on, live a normal life. You know, we'll just keep an eye on this. Mm. And then I missed 2 years, as you do. I missed 2 years. And when I went back, obviously the figures had changed a little bit. And he said, I'd like you to see the surgeon. But even when he said that, I thought it was only on a kind of just to be sure kind of basis. Mm. And there was no rush on this. So when I went to see the surgeon on October 13th, 2018, wasn't it? He kind of looked at the figures and then I think he realized I didn't know how bad it was. So that's when he said the famous line, you have a 70% chance of dying in the next 2 years with these figures. And that really got my attention.
I know I'm sort of laughing nervously here. How did you feel when you heard that, Tom?
I went into, it was really a bit of a panic. I couldn't really believe it. You know the way you can get a bit giggly when you don't know what to do? I had 2 gigs at Christmas and I just wanted to do the 2 gigs. So I was saying to him, can we just do it after Christmas? And he was kind of rolling his eyes, but he agreed. And then he said, whatever you do, though, if you do get chest pains, you cannot ignore them. And I'd never had chest pains. So I told Audrey the news. She's looking at me in disbelief. And then within 2 days, I got chest pains. So I had to check into A&E. The chest pains were just stress. That was just a bad reaction to the news. And then, but it affected me to the level where I said to do the operation as quickly as we humanly can. And that was scheduled for November the 14th.
And they had to replace the valve. That's the operation, right? That's a huge operation.
It's a big deal. If you can think of going into the center of your heart, the aortic valve, and replacing that, that's as serious as it gets, really, in terms of surgery in your heart. And I knew that was coming. And the 4 weeks in the lead up to it were grim. You know, they really were. Telling people about it, pulling out of the gigs, going shopping into Arnott's one day that I'll never forget because I had no hospital stuff. I don't wear pajamas.
Right.
I didn't own slippers. So I had to kind of get all those things quietly without my children realizing why I needed them. And that was grim. That Sunday will live with me. I still can't quite walk through Arnott's without going.
Bad memory. What age were the girls that were in primary school?
So 10 and 12.
Right, okay.
10 and 12.
And did you tell them the full story?
The night before, we kind of very vaguely said, Daddy has to have an operation on his chest. And we kept just going like it was something to do with my chest bone or something. But Eva was perceptive. She looked at me, looked at us and said, will this be our last night as a whole family?
Whoa.
And I remember thinking my heart sank. I thought, oh God. So all you can do is say, no, it won't. Of course it won't be. Of course it won't be. And then the next day I had to check into the hospital and that was grim enough too. It was very surreal.
And obviously, you know, and I've been in these situations with other people, luckily, where they have to lay out all the possibilities, all the things that might happen if the surgery goes wrong, you know.
Yeah.
But before even that conversation, you had a choice of a mechanical device or a sort of a natural device.
Yeah, tissue valve.
Tissue valve, right.
I'm trying to avoid using the word you're thinking of trying to avoid as well. I don't like to think of that. Yeah, tissue valve. And the difference between them is that you end up, well, the mechanical is much longer life, but you end up taking warfarin for your life, which I really didn't like the idea of. So I was very adamant that I wanted the tissue valve. You just take aspirin after
but
that.
But you better tell them it's a pig's valve, is it?
I didn't want to use. Why does it?
Does that bother you that you have a bit of a pig inside you?
Sorry, I don't know. I think the whole, you know, it goes from being science to being something to do with a pig. To me, you say that 1 minute it's all tissue. You have a tissue valve. You know, that's all good. Next minute, it's a bit of a pig in you, Tom, isn't there?
But isn't that brilliant that, you know, medical science can do that?
That's a miracle beyond belief.
Yes, and you're sitting wherever you are talking to me through a microphone and Skype, and you got the brilliant news that it's all clear.
Completely. And I was worried about the life, you know, of the valve. And there was, you know, around 12 years with what they were saying. And that could mean me having surgery, say, again, within another 10 years from today. So we had her second CT scan and he looked at it and I was saying, longevity, are you getting any kind of feeling towards longevity? And he said, oh, this is going excellently. I can't see us needing to go in here again.
Ah.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Yes!
from and this is the same man who said you had 70% chance of dying, right?
Dr. James McCarthy, yeah.
Right.
Legend in my family.
Saved your life.
A man who went to UCC, studied medicine, and now he does that kind of thing. It's miracle working, really. And, you know, I was chatting to him about COVID, and he was saying, oh, I'm lucky I'm able to come into work and stuff. And I mean, what he goes in to do every day is just remarkable.
Yeah.
So,
you were one of those forever young type people in my eyes, you know.
Yeah, and I remain so, right?
Yes, I know. No, but I think that was the image you had of yourself as well. I'm just interested in when you're put through the ringer like that. And I know that the surgery was really tough. You were in ICU for 6 days. You're on dialysis. All of those things. You weren't conscious that that was happening, but you know now that it happened. That's mortality. Your mortality slapping you in the face, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It rattled me. I think I might have a small bit of post traumatic stress around it because it just. God, I came out of hospital wanting to get rid of all my possessions because I felt like you won't be around. And when you're gone, other people will be going through them. So better if you get rid of them now than just, you know, cut out the middleman.
That's an odd one.
So it is odd. I look at my vinyl and I think, God, get rid of it, get rid of it. Just, you know, keep it, put a small footprint in place.
Right.
And that hasn't gone away. And I find the odd moment when the kids are just being fantastic, you just flitter, goes through your head, this won't last. And that's a little bit, you know, scary.
I suppose the comforting thing, if it is comforting, is that it doesn't last for anybody, you know, that we, you know, we're all going to die.
I have a good, I think, you know, hopefully, touch wood, a good patch of time in front of me, you know. But for whatever reason, it just seems to have gone into my head that it mightn't be that, you know, it'd be gone in a heartbeat, you know, so... Yeah. Try and keep the focus going.
And that's just a figure of speech.
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
But you mentioned post-traumatic, and I'm sure you've talked to, you know, the doctor about this. Is this, would that be common?
It is very common. Right. And to be honest, I was interrupted by COVID because I did rehab and I was doing great in the rehab. I was loving it. Going to the gym every Tuesday. I was running on a treadmill. I was getting good speeds again. And, you know, I was really feeling great. And then COVID came in. We had to close everything down. And we have been talking about it, that, you know, it probably would suit you to talk to someone about this.
Right.
And that's all just shut down at the moment.
Yeah, right.
Well, we will do it.
We're nearly at the end of it. And you're broadcasting away on News Talk. Do you do it from home or do you go in?
You know, where I'm sitting now is where I do it from.
Okay, all right.
I haven't left the bunker, as I call it, since March the 12th.
Right. Yes. And what's your favourite Irish love song?
You know, I'm going for one of my own. You
I just said that. No, you can't select a Something Happens one, other than Something Happens.
Yeah, other than. Yeah. I'm going to have to go with Mary then. I don't know if Mary is really a love song.
From the four of us.
Yeah, I think it's one of the most beautiful songs ever written. I hate being envious of my contemporaries, but I very often am.
Okay.
That's one. That is just a gorgeous little song about one man pleading with a woman to do the right thing in her life where she never seems to do it. And just, you know, having that, holding somebody in your heart like that, wanting the best for them. He puts it so well and he sings it so beautifully.
I would never have thought of that. And you better mention the Something Happened song then as well, Tom. Sorry.
Be My Love.
Be My Love.
I think Be My Love is one of the cutest songs we ever wrote. I wrote it on the road in England about the girl who was selling T-shirts for the main band. And she would stare at us every day as we were doing the sound check. So I thought a funny thing would be to write a song about her as we were doing it. Never got to talk to her. Nothing ever, you know.
Happened.
It was just an inspiration for a song.
Unrequited infatuation.
One of many.
Right, okay. Tom, it's great to hear you're in good health and you got the good news.
Swimming and having the crack.
Yeah, and at some stage in the future, yourself and the lads will come in and you'll sing us a couple of songs. Maybe Be My Love might be one of them.
I might murder a version of Mary as well.
Yes, right, there you go. It's a date. Right, Tom, see you. Bye, bye, bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Grandma Gacart, have a good weekend. Thanks very much. 51551 for your text. You can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. Thanks very much to Pat Richardson in Sallynoggin in Dublin for giving us the laugh. He's the dad with the centipede joke. I think it stands up to another. I think it does.
This fellow went into a pet shop. The boy, so he's seen this centipede. So he said he'd buy him. So he brought him home with him. And they're getting on going. So after the couple of days, he said to the centipede, would you like to go for a pint? And the centipede does not. So a couple of hours later, he comes back to him and said, would you like to go for a pint? And the centipede said, does not. So he comes back again. He said, no, he didn't ask. You want to go for a pint? And the centipede said, I heard it the first time, I'm putting on me. I'm putting on me fucking
Oh, yeah. Pat Richardson, Sally Loughran, we salute you. We thank you for brightening up our day. Now, it's time for our quiz of today. 10 questions on events that happened on this day over the years. And a prize too. Today's prize comes from the award-winning holistic Chaud Spa and Dunboyne Castle Hotel. Everything you'd expect in a spa. You can find out more about Chaud Spa, dunboynecastlehotel.com. We say good afternoon to Audrey Mullett in Dublin. How are you doing, Audrey?
Hello, how are you?
Good.
How are you?
Great. You're knitting away there.
I'm knitting away with my daughter's new baby, hopefully, in July.
Oh, great. Is that the first grandchild?
No, my second.
Second, right. Okay. And what about the knitting? Are you an avid knitter?
I haven't been knitting in years. Just with the COVID now, I said I'd take it up again. So
yeah.
I'm sitting, clicking away here. All the stitches nearly fell off the needle when the phone rang.
Oh, so, with the excitement. Sorry about that.
Didn't think anyone had ring.
Who's that? They must have the wrong number. Yeah. Are you finding it sort of meditative, the knitting?
Oh, it's very therapeutic, yeah.
Yeah.
Very relaxing.
Yeah. So
you get doing things around the house. You don't have to cook dinners or nothing. You're in studying your knitting.
Yeah. Your hubby John says you're on a permanent holiday, I believe.
Yeah, well, they asked me this when I retired. And he said you're on a permanent holiday. 30 odd years ago when I had my second child, I retired.
Oh, you retired? Well, you didn't retire, so you gave up work. You gave up work outside the home and you continued to work within the home. Yes, that's it.
Yeah.
So another grandchild due in July.
July.
And John's at home. And who else is, anybody else at home?
My daughter, she's here for a while. She's waiting to sign for our house.
So. Oh, right. Oh, that's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah. Looking forward to that.
Yeah. Great. What's on the menu tonight now for dinner?
Stir-fry prawns.
Nice.
Satay prawns, stir-fry.
Right.
A la Deborah.
Right, so Deborah's the cook, is she?
Yeah, right.
And would there be rice with that or just...
Oh, rice, lovely rice, yeah.
Great. And is she good in the kitchen?
Very good.
Great, okay.
Has me in tow.
Great.
Trying to help me to lose weight here.
Great. And she should go to the Operation Transformation. They have some lovely recipes there that'll help you with that. Now, Audrey, you're up against Christina King in Dunmore East in Waterford. How are you doing, Christina?
Hello, Ray. I'm great. I'm brilliant, actually. How
good.
Are you?
Oh, you're on good. Did you get any snow down there in Dunmore East?
Not a bit.
Nothing. No, nothing.
A little flurry yesterday, but we thought this morning when we woke up that it would be heavy, but no.
Nothing. Okay.
It's pouring rain now.
Right. You're WFH. Working from home. See that?
Sorry, Ray, I'm a bit slow.
You're WFH for VHI.
VHI, that's it.
Yeah. WFH for VHI.
Oh,
yes.
Working from home for ages now, so.
And how are you finding it?
A bit boring, but what can we do? You've missed the crack.
Yeah.
And the laugh, you know, you're set in the office.
Yes, yeah.
But what can we do?
And your aunt is in a bubble with you and you're usually in her house when the quiz is on, is that it?
She's a big fan, Ray. She'd be delighted if you'd say hello, Elsie. And she must have been listening way before I was on some days and she said to me, you have to listen to this. Lovely Ray is doing a quiz, but I think you might be a bit young, she said, to go on.
Right, okay.
And I was like, you go on. And she wouldn't, she'd die. So I'm actually normally with her at this time, but I'm not. I'm in the car, but I wasn't able to get there fast enough.
We say hello to Elsie. Now, there's a lot of pressure on you, Christina, now, because Elsie will be expecting you to do well.
Imagine her. I'll get a gruelling.
Yeah,
look,
you will. Okay.
She won't care as long as you said hello to her.
Right. Hello, Elsie. They're done twice. Now, five questions each. Audrey and Christina, whoever answers most correctly gets the prize. If at the end of five it's a draw, we go to a tie-break situation. Good luck, Audrey, in Artane. Good luck, Christina, in Dunmore East. Here we go. Okay, Audrey, first question for you. On this day in 1832, Ecuador annexed the Galapagos Islands. On what continent would you find Ecuador?
South America.
Correct answer. Christina, on this day in 1925, Estonia banned the Communist Party. On what continent would you find Estonia?
Europe.
Correct answer. Audrey, your second question is an audio one. Have a listen to this.
There's always someone worse off than yourself.
Is there? I'd like to meet him. I could do with a laugh.
You just have to worry for the both of us. I'm telling you, if the good Lord...
is mentioned once more, I shall move you closer to him. Now, please!
On this day in 2012, the late, great Irish actor David Kelly died at the age of 82. Can you name the sitcom you heard him in there alongside John Cleese?
No.
Yes, it is Fawlty Towers.
I was just
about to jump in there. Yeah, and David Kelly played that character, Mr. O'Reilly, who was the builder. It's very funny. Okay, well done. Christina, yours is an audio one as well. Have a listen to this.
May I tell you what I think happened? Alrighty then. Roger Padactor went out after work. He had a few drinks and he came home. But he wasn't alone. Someone else was with him in this apartment. There was a struggle and he was thrown over that balcony.
On this day in 2005, at the 58th BAFTAs, that actor you heard was nominated for a Best Actor Award for his role in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. You heard him there in Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. Can you name the actor?
I can see him in front of me. What, he was an Irish girl that died. Jim Carrey.
Correct answer. Right, okay. Audrey, third question for you. On this day in 1991, Iceland officially recognised Lithuania's independence. Which of these is the capital of Lithuania? Vilnius or Riga?
Vilnius.
Yeah, Vilnius, correct answer. Riga is the capital of Latvia. So three, a clean sheet for you. Audrey, Christina, your third question. On this day in 2019, the Republic of Macedonia officially changed its name to the Republic of North Macedonia to end a long dispute with Greece. Which of these is the capital of North Macedonia? Skopje or Podgorica?
Oh, it's going to have to be a guess. Skopje.
Is the correct answer. Yeah, good guesses today. Three all. Question number four for you, Audrey, is an audio one again. Have a listen to this. Baby, you're a firework. Come on, let your colors burst. Make them go, You're gonna leave them all in love. On this day in 2012, at the 54th Grammy Awards, that song was nominated for Record of the Year. Can you name the singer?
Katy Perry.
Correct answer. And for you, Christina, have a listen to this. That song was number one on this day in 1988. Can you name the singer?
Kylie Minogue.
Correct answer. Right, four all. It's down to the wire. Very good so far, Audrey and Christina. Audrey, if you get this right, you put Christina under a bit of pressure. It's your final question. Good luck. On this day in 1771, Gustav III became the King of Sweden after the death of his predecessor, Adolf Frederick. What's the current population of Sweden is the question we want answered. Is it 10 million, 15 million or 20 million?
15 million.
It's not. It's 10 million. Right. Okay. So, Audrey, an opportunity for you here. Get your final question correct. You're today's winner. Hard luck,
Christina.
Audrey. Sorry, Christina. Sorry, you're right, Christina. Christina, an opportunity for you. Get this right and you're today's winner. Here we go. Good luck. On this day in 1809, Charles Darwin, naturalist who conceived the theory of evolution by natural selection, was born in Shrewsbury in England. What we want to know is, what's the current population of England? Now, this is England. 46 million, 56 million or 66 million?
The middle one, 56.
Is the correct answer. Well done, it is 56 million. Audrey, hard luck.
No problem. Yeah. Congratulations, Christine.
Yeah, Audrey, we're going to send...
Audrey, thank you so much.
I tell you what, we're going to send you out two mugs.
Okay.
One for you and one from Deborah. And I hope everything goes well with the arrival of the babby in July.
And thanks very much. Thank you.
And the prawn stir fry this evening. So enjoy that. Okay. See you, Audrey.
Thanks very much.
Bye now. Bye. Christina, Elsie will be proud of you. Your Auntie Elsie. Yes.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall at the moment, Ray. I'd say she's jumping around the room. Oh, I'm so happy.
Great. Yourself and a person of your choice is off to Sheowood Spa and Dunboyne Castle Hotel when we get to the other side of all this. And you can find out more about it at dunboynecastlehotel.com.
All right. Thanks so much.
Done,
you made me and her very happy.
Mind
Thank
yourself.
You.
See you. Bye.
Take
bye,
care.
Bye.
The
bye,
Ray
bye,
Darcy
bye.
Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, 51551. Now, we were just mentioning at the top of the show that we don't do love songs very well in this country. That was my opinion, but you proved me wrong. And we got loads of suggestions, loads. So we have a few of them on the cart wall, clips thereof. For example, this one. 'Cause nothing compares. Great song, great song. Sinead O'Connor and Nothing Compares to You. And this one of the greatest love songs ever written, I think.
Oh, Grace, just hold me in your arms and let this moment linger. They'll take me out at dawn and I will die.
It is when you know the story. Grace Clifford was an Irish artist. She married her fiancé, Joseph Plunkett, in Kilmainham Jail. A few hours before he was executed for his part in the 1916 Rising.
There won't be time.
Gifford, not Clifford. Sorry about that, Miss Reddit.
For we must say goodbye.
I have never seen that dress you're wearing. All the highlights in your hair that catch your eye. I have been blind.
Here we go.
Lady.
Chris Berg and Lady in Red. You too, loads of songs. But this one was written by Bono for his wife Ali as a birthday present. Nice thing.
Puts the rainbow in the sky. Who lights the stars at night? Who dreamt up someone so divine? Someone like you and made them.
So if you're lucky enough to have somebody in your life, and if you're lucky enough to be cooking for them this Valentine's Day, you might have those songs on your playlist in the background, and you might want some advice for the meal from Nevin Maguire, who's on the line. How are you doing, Nevin?
How are you, Ray? You good?
I'm good. Now, we've about 7 minutes, right?
Okay.
Now, there will be people cooking this weekend who've never cooked before, and they'll be wanting to impress. So it's simple but impressive. That's what we're looking for from you.
Yeah. Well, and don't overcomplicate it. So I've got a really, really simple starter. It's prawns and chorizo. So get some really nice prawns, a little bit of onion, garlic, fry that off in some olive oil. Chorizo is gorgeous. So warm that up in the pan. Put in your prawns at the last minute, a little bit of lemon zest, fresh basil. It works so good. Smoked paprika. This can be done, honestly, start to finish, 10-15 minutes. Serve it with some rice or serve it with a little bit of bread. That can be your starter. Yeah. So the key things is the prawns, don't overcook them, and the chorizo and the smoked paprika and lemon. It's gorgeous. It's delicious. You can put peppers in there. You can put cherry tomatoes. It's quick, delicious, and it's not a very heavy starter either.
And you're only heating up the chorizo, aren't you? Because it's cooked already. Yeah.
Absolutely. You're right. And you're releasing that lovely kind of like oil that comes out of it, that lovely smoke kind of paprika. Yeah. That's gorgeous.
And that's going to colour the prawns and everything else.
Yeah.
And, oh,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's nice. You have me there on that one.
Yum. Good man.
Yeah, yeah.
Ray, knowing you, you'd throw in a bit of chili, I think. So,
yeah, there'll be chili in. There will be chili in. Will you be cooking for Imelda?
Oh, of course. Come on, I cook every night. Of course I do.
Right.
And I suppose, yeah, I'm going to do, we'll go for a walk, and then what we'll do, the family, all of us, the four of us locally, and then what I'll do is I'm going to do duck confit. So I've my duck legs from a local producer, Thornhill Duck, salting at the minute, and what I'll do, I'll rinse them off, I'll cook them in star anise in some duck fat and some sliced orange, balsamic lentils, little baby potatoes, and then for dessert, tiramisu, which I love.
Oh, beautiful. So, lovely, yeah, lovely. Yum. And then the playlist in the background, that'll be, yeah. That's what you're going to be playing in the background, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm going to have the decks in the kitchen and all, Ray, haven't I?
And then you want to be careful, because you'll be playing Whitney Houston and then something will happen and you'll... And Imelda will be going, take that off, will you? We're having a romantic meal.
She'll be able to put me in mute.
Sorry, I went off there. So the starter is sizzling prawns with chorizo and peppers. And for the main course...
Steak is definitely the number one meat, I think, this weekend from what I hear. So we're going to talk about three different cuts: ribeye, fillet, strip loin. Treat them kind of all the same. Bring them to room temperature for about 15-20 minutes before you cook them. Good hot pan, a little bit of oil and butter, rapeseed oil I use, a little bit of thyme and garlic when you're cooking the steak, and you cook it for about 3-4 minutes either side if you want it nice and pink. So with that, some rustic potatoes. So get a couple of potatoes, keep the skin on, just wash them, slice them nice and thinly, put them into the oven with a little bit of rosemary, put a bit of garlic there, you can crush them or you can keep them whole, and a little bit of olive oil or rapeseed oil, so they're kind of rustic, kind of crispy potatoes, but they're thinly sliced.
Okay, we're going to put the recipe up here, but just rewind a little bit back to the steak.
Sorry.
Because if you talk to anybody who cooks steaks at home, they go, yeah, they're fine, but they don't taste like they do in the restaurant. So how do we get a steak at home that tastes like the one you get in the restaurant?
Well, it's probably about sourcing them. I mean, it depends. You can get dry-aged steaks up to 28 to 35 days and, you know, all the different cuts, like ribeye is a beautiful cut. I honestly think the key is bringing it to room temperature, cooking it with some rapeseed oil and butter. I do, yeah.
And do you put 20 minutes? Some people put the oil on the meat before they put it in the pan.
I do.
You do, you see. These are the things.
I would put some rapeseed oil on it, good point, a little bit of fresh thyme and then a little bit of garlic. Leave that in the fridge for about an hour or two. Take it out half an hour before you're going to
cook. And then get it up to room temperature. You see, now we're talking. These are the things that people don't mention. You know, these are your little secrets.
The tips.
Yeah. And when you say when you say the pan needs to be hot, is it sizzling hot?
Ah, it does. Seal it in, and you know, and then you can add a little bit more oil. Don't add the butter too soon because the butter will burn. But the rapeseed oil is a great oil because it stops the butter from burning. The butter will give the flavour and that beautiful, you know, that lovely caramelisation.
Yes.
You know, even on a griddle pan, it'll work the same. But what you want to do is seal in the meat. So you're keeping in the juices in the meat, not in the pan. That's what you want.
And then the other side of the cooking, do you have to let it... rest then for a while.
Rest, well done, yeah. So what I normally do is take it out, let it rest for about 8 to 10 minutes, cover it in tin foil. So
does it not go cold?
No, cover it in tinfoil.
Right.
No, about 5 minutes. That's a good point. Depends on the thickness of your steak. So the thicker the steak, the longer it's going to take to rest, because you might be hungry and you want to get into it straight away and get stuck in. Yeah. Don't do that. All the juices are going to run onto the plate. What you can be doing with those lovely juices that are in the pan while your steak is resting on the plate, you can keep it actually in the oven. This is a good tip. At about 90 degrees, covered in tinfoil, and it won't overcook. So
okay.
Perfect.
There you go.
So you can make your sauce, a nice peppered sauce.
Yeah, and this is the thing. If you make a complete hames of the steak and your peppercorn sauce is good enough, it'll cover up all your mistakes. So go on.
You're brilliant, Ray. You know, for the peppercorn sauce, a little bit of onion, put mushrooms into that if you want to flambe that. And that means just be careful. You put in a splash of brandy, or you can put in white wine, a little bit of stock, some cream, and lots of ground black pepper. It's gorgeous. You can put Worcester sauce into that. You can put a little bit of mustard. Just keep it simple. Don't overcomplicate it. As you said, the recipes are on your website, so people can go and look for it. That sauce actually can be made, you know, tomorrow, and it'll keep for about 3 or 4 days, which is brilliant.
Which would be a good idea to do that, wouldn't
it? That's
it. Yeah.
Have you got time for dessert?
Always. Go on.
I love you. Okay, so chocolate cremo. It's a chocolate custard, and you can make this and it'll keep for 3 or 4 days. It probably won't last. So what you do is you use 2 eggs, a spoonful of caster sugar until it's light and fluffy.
A cremo.
And
then what you do, that's a cremo, or E-M-E-U-X, right, okay.
Yeah, so it's like a cooked custard, so it is red.
Right.
Lovely and light. So then in a saucepan, you heat up 150 mils of equal quantities of cream and milk, bring that to the boil, then you add in 200 grams of plain chocolate, minimum 55% cocoa solids. So remember, the higher the percentage of cocoa solids, the more bitter it is. Okay. You put that into your hot cream
and
milk.
I'm going to stop you there because you've lost most of the lads out there now. They're going to do the steak, they're going to do the peppercorn sauce, and they're going to go down to the shop and they're going to buy something nice for dessert. That's what they're going to do. But if you're up to it and you want some chocolate cremo, the recipe's there on our website. Now, are you taking to the decks tonight?
I hope so.
Yeah, can I request this one when you're on Instagram Live? Okay.
I have an Instagram Live.
Nevin, mind yourself. Thanks so much.
Happy Valentine's, everyone.
See you. Bye. There must be some way that Nevin Maguire can combine his dance music sort of interest and his cooking. I don't know what it is. I haven't come up with it yet, but there's a program in there somewhere. That's it from us. Cormac and Sarah are on the way. Whatever you're doing this weekend, do it safely, and we will talk to you on Monday at 3 o'clock. Good luck.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.